Matthew 17. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I remember Dave relentlessly would teach, usually starting from this passage, every year. Over and over and over. And then we get into Isaiah. And this is the fast that the Lord has chosen. And hide not yourself from your own flesh. And your health shall spring forth speedily. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. So now, tonight, the assignment I have from the Lord is we're going to teach on fasting, but it's not going to seem like it. But it really is. We're going to look at what Jesus said here in this teaching where he gets the lunatic boy free. Okay? Because he talks about mustard seed faith, but then at the end of it, he talks about fasting. And to be honest with you, other than this passage, it took me forever to find anywhere else that he connected up those two things. But I finally did find it. And I'm going to teach it to you, but you got to hang around to the end of the service. Okay? And because it'll take that long to lay out. Now, we're actually going to talk about mustard seed faith. Let's read the passage first, and then we'll start commenting. So Matthew 17, starting in verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to the prayer center. Excuse me. It's not going to stay that way, is it? I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus, he gathered his disciples together and gave them all a pat on the back and said, Attaboy, I know you tried really hard. I know you prayed with all the faith you had. That's not the way your Bible reads. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Can you tell he's not happy? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, that means privately, and they said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, now notice, we're going to really concentrate on this portion tonight. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. There is no stronger word than that. Not maybe it'll move. It shall remove. As if that's not enough, he adds this capper to it, this capstone, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Well, let's make a few general conclusions. Can we safely say that Jesus expected his disciples to cast that devil out? Are we in agreement on that? Obviously. I mean, they're being real polite here in the King James, but he's basically saying, how long am I going to have to do this for you? How long am I going to be here? I've been training you. You've been following me and watching. How long am I going to have to do this for you? He plainly intended for them to be able to do this. Can we safely say he plainly intends for us to be able to do this? And the issue is not the size of the devil. The issue is the size of our unbelief. Or he said it another way. He says, because of your unbelief, but then he talks about faith as a grain of mustard seed. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. And we're going to talk about that, because if we ever understand this, now look what he says in this verse. Get your nose right in there. Come on. If we can ever have faith as a grain of mustard seed, if we really learn what he's talking about, to where we can function like this, not only can we cast out that devil. See, look at the look at what he's doing. He's saying, you're having trouble with this devil. And he just come down off the Mount of Transfiguration. We know where he is. He's standing right at the foot of the mountain. He said, you're having trouble casting out this devil. If you learn how to have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can not only cast out this devil, you can move that mountain right there. And nothing will be impossible to you. See, that sounds to me like cancer-killing faith. That sounds to me like missing a leg and get a leg faith. That sounds to me like the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, and nothing shall be impossible unto us if we can ever learn what this mustard seed faith is. What does he mean by it? And what is it? And if I don't have it now, how do I get it? Well, we do know one thing about it. He equates unbelief and not having that kind of faith as being the same thing. Because of your unbelief. And he's plainly saying you don't have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Because if you did, you could move the mountain. And for sure, you could cast out that puny devil. Excuse me. See, I don't think Jesus is ever impressed by demons. Do you think he's ever impressed by demons? I mean, he says, I saw these creatures kicked out of heaven. I saw them fall as lightning to the earth. And compared to God, you know, we always think, oh, God and the devil. No, it's God, big God, and devil, little created thing, little created thing. He says, you're having trouble with this? If you ever learn to have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you not only can run that guy off, you can move that mountain right there. Well, and obviously fasting has something to do with it, because he finished up that teaching saying this kind of unbelief goes not out, but by prayer and fasting. Okay. Now, before I go any further, I want to tell you about a series that is available for free at my website. It's if you don't know, our website is GaryCarpenter.org. I'm not asking you to go there to sell you anything. I don't have anything for sale at all. It's just that's where these teachings are. But I have a series there called Mustard Seed Faith. I recommend it to you. It is 7 messages. When you go to the GaryCarpenter.org, you'll see a little button on the left side that says Media. Click that. Then another page comes up, and one of the options is Christian Foundations. Click that. And then series number 8 on that page is Mustard Seed Faith. You can afford it. It's free. Okay, and there's a handout even that goes with it. All right. Let me read you the titles. There's seven 1 hour long, roughly 1 hour long messages there. I mean, there's a lot of information. Okay. Tonight, I'm going to do my best to summarize all 7 messages in 1 hour. But you know that I've got to like skip a stone across the surface of the water to do that. We're going to hit the high points and enough to try and get it in. But if you really want the information, I just want you to know it's there. Let me read you the titles. Number 1, Leadership and Power. Number 2, Little Faith Won't Move Mountains. Number 3, Mustard Seed Faith. And that's really the definition. We'll get into that tonight too. Number 4, Nurturing the Seed. If you don't have time to listen to any of the other ones, listen to that one. Especially after tonight, because I'm not going to have the time to go into it like I did on that. Okay? Nurturing the seed. Number 5, Producing Mustard Seed Faith. Number 6, 3 Measures of Meal. This is a preview. Number seven, that third measure of meal requires fasting. Yeah, I know. You'll see it here in a little bit. All right, now, getting into, that's the end of the advertisement. GaryCarpenter.org, Media, Christian Foundations, Series Number 8, Mustard Seed Faith. There's a lot of information there for you. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Most of the traditional teaching on this verse goes like this. See there? Jesus himself said it. All you need is just a little faith. Just a little faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. If you just have a little faith, my brothers and sisters, you can speak to this mountain and it will move. I was taught that in Sunday school from the time I was a little boy. Trouble of it is, I never saw anybody with little faith move any mountains. Then I got to studying the Bible for myself, and I couldn't find a single place where Jesus ever bragged on anybody for having little faith. If you want to know what he said, now you can write these down and look them up later. We don't have time. I just wrote down four places where Jesus talked about little faith. One of them is Matthew 8:26. This is when they were crossing over to the other side and the storm came and they thought they was all going to die. And he said, and this is Matthew 8:26. He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. He wasn't pleased with little faith there, was he? Matthew 14:31. This is where Peter, come on, let's give the guy some credit. Peter walked on the water. He got out of the boat. He walked on the water. But then his eyes went, he took his eyes off Jesus, started seeing the wind and the waves boisterous, and began to sink and cried out. And Matthew 14:31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him. Now the man just walked on the water. O ye of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Matthew 16:8, he says to them, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? And the last one is Luke 12:28. He says, if God then so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Not one time do you ever find him bragging on little faith. Jesus likes great faith. I'll just tell you right now. That the centurion that came and says, oh, you don't need to come under my roof. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus marveled. He said, this guy, he's not even a covenant man. He's not even a Jew. He's a Roman. And Jesus says, I have not found so great faith as this. No, not in all of Israel. Isn't that something? Jesus likes great faith, not little faith. So what does it mean if when he says mustard seed faith, if he's not talking about little faith, what is he talking about? Part of the reason we Americans have trouble understanding this verse is that none of us has ever seen a mustard plant like he's talking about. In America, in our climate, mustard seed plants don't ever get more than about belt high. They're just little plants, okay? Our mustard seeds only produce small plants. But Jesus speaks of a mustard seed producing a plant so big it becomes a tree with branches so large birds can lodge in it. The plant Jesus describes is fairly common in the Middle East, but it will not grow in our climate. The point Jesus is making is not just talking about the size of the seed, although it is very tiny. This little tiny seed over there, little tiny seed, produces a tree so big, a full-grown man can climb up in the branches of it. And it all comes from a tiny little seed. What's he trying to say? He is speaking about the image that's on the inside of the seed. It's not the size of the seed. It's the image on the inside of the seed. And do you have faith to bring forth the image that's contained in that seed? See, God's word is seed. The sower sows the word. God's word is the seed, and God's word is full of images. Lost man, you can be healed. Blind man, you can see. Lame, you can walk. Deaf, you can hear. There's images on the inside of God's word. You know, man, with all of his modern technology today, even today, man cannot produce a seed that will grow. Not from nothing. Man cannot take the elements of the earth and make a seed that will grow. Can't do it. Only God can do that. See, God's word is seed. Let me read this just like I have. The point Jesus is making is not just talking about the size of the seed. He is speaking of what that seed can produce. Every seed has an image on the inside of it. It's already programmed into the seed by God. You don't have to program it. You take a corn seed, that little yellow, one little yellow kernel of corn, about a quarter inch square, not maybe, you know, maybe not even quite that. And you look at that little thing, it looks so little. Now, mustard seed, they tell me, is about the size of a pepper grain. Okay, that's even smaller than a little corn seed. But you think about that little corn seed, about a quarter inch square, maybe. Programmed on the inside of that little seed there is not just another seed. There is a whole stalk, a whole plant that in Oklahoma is taller than an elephant's eye. Remember the song? The corn was as high as an elephant's eye. Anyway, there's a whole stalk taller than you, and with it, and it's going to produce not one ear, several ears of corn. And within each ear are dozens and dozens of those same seeds. And each one of those seeds has got the same image on the inside. Now, he goes all the way down to the smallest seed that anybody knows much about. And that would be that mustard seed that's about the size of a pepper grain. And what he's talking about, there is an image programmed on the inside of that thing. You look at that little seed and think it's worthless. See, a lot of people, the Word of God, they don't have time for it. They don't have time for the Word. We're going to get into Mark 4 in a minute. I'm too busy. Cares of this world. I'm too busy. I got a job. I got a car. I got kids. They don't ever talk. I got a boat. I got a honey. Whatever. Too busy. See? Well, the Word of God, you know, okay. I go to church on Sunday. That's enough. And he's saying, well, you might consider God's word like that, like a little bitty seed. But he said, I'm telling you, God's word is like that mustard seed. It may be the tiny, he even says that at one point we're going to look at. It may be the tiniest seed in the earth. But when it grows up, everyone say, when it grows up, it becomes a mighty tree. So big that the birds can lodge in it. The man can climb up into it, see? Every seed has an image on the inside of it. It is already programmed into the seed by God. In the natural, it's that way. And in the Word of God, it's that way. God's already programmed it. The image is already there. He put the image in the Word of God just like he put the image in that corn seed. Man can't do that. He still can't do it today. God did it. Mustard seed faith, what it really is a person doing what is necessary to bring forth the image that is already in the seed. God's word is seed. Jesus, he connected up mustard seed faith when he taught about the word of God being seed in Mark chapter 4. So let's go on over to Mark 4 now. See, we teach on Mark 4. You've probably heard so many messages on Mark 4, you can teach it as good as me. I mean, or as good, what I'm saying is you can teach it Because you've heard it so many times. You we all know that parable. Well, the sower sows the word, you know. These were they by the wayside. These were those on stony ground. These were those on thorny ground. These were the, you know. This was the good soil. Some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. We've heard that and heard that. But he connects that up with mustard seed faith in that teaching. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Even though I'm teaching this, I'm learning more about mustard seed faith myself. Because when we're there and we speak to cancer, the cancer goes. Is that clear enough? What did he say? Nothing shall be impossible to you if you learn this kind of faith. Okay? Kidney problems. I mean, we've got people here that's believing for kidneys and on dialysis. This kind of faith, when you speak to the kidney problem, whatever it is, the kidney problem goes. See? We've got to learn this. We have to learn this. All right. Mark chapter 4. Now, we're going to get into the parable of the sower itself in a moment. You all know it's there, right? Mark 4. And we normally teach that like from verse 14 down through verse 20. But notice as he could still teaching about this, come on down to verse 30. Mark 4:30. After he teaches about the parable of the sower sows the word. And we've all heard that parable so many times, you could teach it as good as anybody. Okay? But notice down here, he does connect it up with this mustard seed faith idea. So in verse 30, he says, well, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. Now here we go again. Which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, if you ever really get it sown, and if you ever learn to keep it sown, it groweth up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, he just got through teaching about the parable of the sower. In the teaching, let's read it. Let's just read it. It won't take that long. Let's look at verse. We'll start in verse 13. He said unto them, know you not this parable? How will you know all parables? I mean, would you think this one's fairly important? But don't understand this, how are you going to know any of them? The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And they so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, notice, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. But even on the good ground, notice, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. How many knows we're called to the 100? I want the 100. I don't want a third of them leaving here healed, and two-thirds of them leaving not healed. We want 100-fold, do we not? First time, every time, No exceptions. Amen. We've been saying it for how many years, okay? Now, he just got through teaching. When he gets down here to verses 30, 31, 32, he's talking about that mustard seed faith. You've got to keep it in the context with what he just taught. He just got through teaching God's word is like seed. It's like seed. Now, in the teaching, in this teaching he just taught, now let's make a few notes. Number one, there was never any problem with the seed. There's never a problem with God's word. The seed is perfect. The image in the seed is perfect. But notice some of the seed produced nothing. And even in that seed that did produce, even that seed, some produced 30, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. What do we conclude from that? The harvest produced was not dependent upon the seed. The seed is perfect. The harvest produced is totally dependent upon the soil and how the seed is nurtured. Did you get that? I want to say it again. The seed is perfect. The image in the seed is perfect. The image to be produced is perfect. But it all hinges on the soil. Hello, soil. We are the soil. Now, he taught us real plain. What we do as soil that causes God's perfect word not to produce. He taught us plain. He's trying to teach us mustard seed faith. How do you take the seed that is maybe so tiny, but how do you nurture that seed and keep it in the soil to the point that the image is made manifest on planet Earth? Or let's say it this way. The image is made manifest in your life. Let's say it this way. The mountain moves. The problem goes. How do you do it? Well, first he told us in this parable, for sure, things that you can do that won't, that'll cause it not to produce. Number one, back up to Mark 4:15. These are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. So they heard it. When they have heard, did they hear it? When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, Matthew's account of this same teaching gives us some information that Mark doesn't. Hold your place there in Mark and go to Matthew 13, verse 19. Because for years I didn't connect it up. I didn't understand how Satan stole it away. But he told us plainly in Matthew's account. Hallelujah. Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and here it is, and understandeth it not, they understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So number one, the number one reason, the number one way you can keep the seed from producing is lack of understanding. I would add to that lack of attentiveness, counting it as a small thing. Not studying, not meditating, not doing your part to understand. In our teaching here, who is the teacher of the body of Christ? Is it Dave Roberson? Well, do we appreciate Dave Roberson? But who did he teach us was the teacher of the body of Christ? The Holy Spirit. If you don't understand it, you reckon there's anybody that does? I think his name is the Holy Ghost. If you have never listened to Dave's series about meditation, real meditation of the Word, and how you'll find the beginning and the end of the subject, not lift a verse out of its setting, but find that whole setting, the beginning and ending of the passage, and read it again, read it again, read it again, pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues, till the Holy Spirit, He will bring the understanding of that verse. And when He brings it, they can't beat it out of you with rifle butts. You'll have it. And the devil will never be able to steal it from you. Understand it. Say with me. I am good soil. I am learning how to bring forth mustard seed faith. I will never stop till I understand God's Word. Good point. All right. So that's number one. Lack of understanding would be number one. Number two, this is Mark 4. Go back to Mark 4 now. Mark 4, verses 16 and 17. Number two is, if you're going to write the sentence down, that no root in themselves. What does that mean? These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves. So endure, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for what reason? For the word's sake. I keep saying it. I'll keep saying it forever. We talk about being targets. We are. We have a target on our back. But really, if you're going to get fundamental, the target is not you. The target, what the devil, he's not afraid of you. He's afraid of the word that's in you. He's afraid you'll learn how to do this mustard seed faith. He's afraid you'll learn how to bring forth the image. So he's doing everything he can to separate you from the Word of God, to neutralize the Word so it will not produce. Because the Word itself is perfect. He has to work on the soil. And that's us. Say, I am a person not moved by persecution and affliction. I have root in me, and I will not be moved away by offenses, persecution, or affliction. All right, number three. What's the third way you can cause the word not to work at all? That's verses 18 and 19. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Now, it's so important to notice in every one of these soils, they hear the word. This is not talking about the world, really. This is talking about God's people. They hear the word. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That is such an amazing thing to me, because the seed is perfect. The seed itself is perfect. And God cannot lie. Every one of His words has an image that is perfect. Yet how we deal with that word can choke it, where it becomes unfruitful, even though the seed itself is perfect. So what I put there, too busy, cares of this world, right? Too busy, too worried, too full of care, and just busy about other things. Or you could say the lust of other things. Just not giving the word first place. And you got to notice, in all three of those kinds of soil, it wasn't that the word produced a little bit. In each one of those kind of soils, it was unfruitful completely. No fruit at all from the seed of the word from an all-powerful God who cannot lie. Yet those three methods makes God's word itself unfruitful. How scary is that? Number four. Aren't you glad we got to number four? Because number four is good ground. Say, thank you, Gary. Hallelujah. We finally got to good ground. Glory to God. But even on the good ground. See, and I believe every person in the sound of my voice, whether you're in this building or just listening around the world or watching, you are good ground. The Word's already produced some in your life. Everybody in the sound of my voice has had victories of some kind because of the Word. All right, we're going to have a lot more victories. Personal and then also with other people. See, you got to remember now, we got to keep this all in context where we started in Matthew 17. This will work for your own personal victory. I know people sitting right here now that's in the process of having victory over cancer. Like Alan Taylor's in the process of having victory over that, the symptoms of that stroke. Amen? But he's really taking it beyond that. He started this off with his disciples who weren't battling anything themselves. And he's going, that's fine. You have to move the mountain that's attacking your life. But I'm going to take you to the place where you can move the mountain that's attacking them in their life. And that's revival. That's what this church is called to. That's what we're called to. Preaching a little bit tonight. So again, the question, what is the key to mustard seed faith then? What is this key? Now, what I didn't link this up for years. In between the parable of the sower that we just read in Mark 4 and the parable of the grain of mustard seed that we read later on in Mark 4, in between those two things, he gave another parable that links them together. So now look at verse 26. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now what is the seed? The word of God. What is the ground? We are. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. And I love this. He knoweth not how. Thank God. We don't have to know how this works. God knows how it works. He programmed it into the seed. You know, my mother's side of the family really lived out in the country. They didn't even have electricity until the last few years of my grandpa's life. I mean, they lived, he never owned an automobile. Horse and buggy all of his life. Okay? No, hardly any education at all. But he knew enough to plant seed into the ground. He did not have to know the thermodynamics and the chemical processes and all of the various things that happen inside the seed and the soil. All he needed to know was the same thing that this guy needed to know. If I put that seed in the ground, and if I keep it in the ground, and I water that seed, the image in that seed will grow. So I love it when Jesus says, you don't have to know how this works. You don't have to know the chemical processes and the thermodynamics and the ins and outs. You don't have to know all that. He's saying, I know all that. And I've already programmed all that into my word. You're the soil. You get this planted in you. And it will produce. You don't even have to know how. How are you going to do it, God? You don't need to know. so long as it does it. I don't care what runs the cancer off, as long as the cancer goes. Amen? All right. So let's read it again here. Now I didn't finish. Verse 26. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. Night and day. Why do you think he put that in there? Most of the time, this doesn't happen overnight. It can. Okay, it can. But the imagery that he's given here is like a farmer. See, we want to plant the seed on Tuesday and have the crop on Wednesday. Actually, we want to plant the seed at 10 o'clock Tuesday and have the crop 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. You know. See, I'm old enough to remember when we used to have to cook the food. But now we stand in front of the microwave and yell, hurry. Don't we? Or go through the drive-thru. My Lord, it took them more than a minute. You know? I thought this was fast food. Through faith and patience, you possess the promises. But that's in, normally there's a, should sleep and rise night and day. He's drawn some imagery here. Didn't always overnight. Okay? But the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, and thank God you don't need to know how. Your job is to keep the seed in the ground and nurture that seed. And like, this is where I am right now. See, we're going to run out of time in just about 10 or 15 minutes. That message that's in that 7-message series, one of them is called Nurturing the Seed. And we're just not hardly going to get there. But I really recommend it to you. So verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Now the earth, he's not talking about the seed right there. He's talking about you, child of God. You are designed by God to bring forth fruit from God's Word. He made you that way. He made the earth that way, didn't he? The earth is how many, I don't know how old the earth is, but however old it is, you put seed in the ground and that ground will still produce seed. He made the ground to bring forth the image in the seed. Hello, ground. You are made for this. Say, I was born for this. I was made to bring forth fruit. I don't need to know how. I just need to know I'm made that way. I am good ground. God made me to be able to bring forth fruit from His Word. Say it this way. I'm able to do this. I was born for this. This is what I do. That's the earth brings forth fruit of itself. Your noggin does not have to know how. He made you to bring forth fruit. He said, just plant it. Can you plant it? And not be out kicking it the next day saying, I don't see any fruit. Can you plant it? And sleep and rise night and day. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. I love that. I didn't get that for years. He's not even talking about the seed. He's talking about you. We learn how to do this. He made you for this. You're born for this. Whew. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. Smith Wigglesworth was known as the apostle of faith in his generation. This man, he was not perfect, like none of them are perfect. I only met one. I've never met a perfect one. I've read about one. His name is Jesus, okay? But he was called the apostle of faith. This man, the miracles, he would rebuke cancer and the big old tumor would just fall off on the stage floor right in front of all the multitudes of people. And over again, they would ask him, what is the key to faith like that? What is the key to great faith? And he always gave the same answer. first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. In other words, nobody's born this way. You got to start. You got to start. You got to learn. You got to learn this yourself. Let me read you some more notes now. I want to read that whole thing together. We're okay on time, okay? So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. I'm going to read that again. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So here's some notes again. If I repeat myself, it's good for you. Good for me too. Number one, the seed is perfect. You don't need to change it. You don't need to fix it. You don't need to alter it in any way. You do need to find it. There is no problem you have that God has not provided for in His Word. It is here. Okay? You may have to hunt a little bit, but it's in there. Number two, boy, and I can barely touch on this tonight. Get the seed of God's Word sown into you until hope becomes programmed in your consciousness. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't have time for long rabbit trails. In the early days, got to remember, I grew up in a denomination that basically said if you really had God, you had to be poor. They used to have a motto: God, you keep our pastor humble, we will keep him poor. All right, I grew up with that. Well, I wanted God, but I had this program on the inside of me that just kept defeating me financially, because every time I'd try and have God, then all of our finances would go to pot, you know. Well, God gave me instruction in those days. I was just doing what Pastor Dave teaches, praying in other tongues. And I got an instruction from the Lord, and he told me to find three verses and say them out loud 4 hours a day. And again, I don't have time to belabor that, and I'm not telling you to do that. I'm trying to give you an example from my life. The three verses, it could have been other verses. These are the three I picked. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And the third one was, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I began saying them. One way you can sow God's word is say it. And say it. And say it. But I remember doing that, and the monotony, and it seemed so foolish. I remember the thoughts that would come to my brain. I know now it was the devil. Thoughts, this is the most, now you've gone off the deep end. This is not doing anything. You're just speaking words into the air. This is not going to change a thing. What you need to do is find another job. What you need to do is do overtime. What you need to do is this. What you need to do is that. But God didn't tell me to do any of those things. God told me to speak His Word 4 hours a day. It took me forever to do it. I finally did it, and I don't have time. I remember the day. I remember the day. See, God's Word has an image on the inside. That image, once it's transferred to you, is called hope. Hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Without hope, faith has nothing to give substance to. You have to sow God's word. Listen to Him, follow His instructions, but whatever is required to get His Word into you until the image that's in that Word fills you with hope. That's the first thing. Like if the doctors had diagnosed you with cancer, you need a good image of being healed. You need to meditate God's Word, speak God's Word, whatever it takes, until hope, real hope. He told me one time, hope can't be like a vague wisp. Can't be like a ghostly thing in your brain. Hope has to stand up like something solid on the inside of you. Like this is, I know he gave me the definition. When it comes in you like this, he calls it godly hope. Something in you goes, what has been is not what shall be. Now you have crossed into hope right there, my friend. You may not possess it yet, but I remember the day that I stepped. The only way to describe that thing, our circumstances were just as bad as always, but I stepped into a room. It's like I had been in this one room forever, and I stepped over a threshold. Nothing on the outside changed right then, but something on the inside sure did. I know now it was hope. Firmly established, I knew that things were going to change. That's called hope. Then I had to learn how to use faith to appropriate from that hope, and that's a whole nother lesson, okay? But tonight, we're talking about how do you sow the word into you. It's not really sown until that image starts to germinate. That image, whatever image is, if you're sick, health. If you're poor, wealth. If you're lost, salvation. If your kids are lost, their salvation. Whatever it is, God has words with images, and it's not really sown until that image is transferred to you and hope arises on the inside of you. He's called the God of hope for a reason. Then faith now has substance, has something. Faith now has something to give substance to. All right, so let me read that one again. Good Lord. Okay, we're doing okay. Number one, the seed is perfect. You don't need to change it, fix it, or alter it in any way. Number two, get the seed of God's Word into your heart until hope, the image, becomes programmed in your consciousness. Hope comes first. Without hope, there is nothing for faith to give substance to. Thank God for Dave saying that over and over again to us. Number three, keep that image within you. Now this is the hard part. Be at peace while you do it. That's called entering into that rest. Rest in the knowledge that God cannot lie and His Word cannot fail you. Faith is the soil that brings forth the fruit. Did you get that? Faith is the soil that brings forth the fruit. And I've said again, you are built for this. You can do this. We are God's children, born with a nature to believe Him. Amen? You can do this. And number five, the harvest will come. Get that settled. The seed is perfect. God cannot lie. If you plant the seed, don't dig it up, nurture the seed, there is not a chance of failure here. The harvest will come. God cannot lie. His Word will produce, and no mountain is too big. Did you get that? All right, I told you I was going to connect this up with fasting. It took me forever to find this. We ought to take up a love offering right now. Before I go to Matthew 13, I'll show it to you. You getting anything out of this? Now, I still reckon, I am skipping a stone across the surface of this. That series that I have there at the website, Mustard Seed Faith, has got so much more along these lines. I'm just barely, this was all I can get in one service, okay? This is a pretty good synopsis. But I really recommend that series to you. Especially the one, if you only have time for one, listen to the one about nurturing the seed, okay? Because every farmer, if he doesn't know how to nurture the seed, he's going to have crop failure every time. All right, Matthew 13, did you find it? Look at verse 31. Now notice this, I didn't get this for years. Thank God for Pastor Dave telling us to assimilate and read it again and read it again. Finally, one day my lightning quick mind saw the connection here. Matthew 13, starting with verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. So he's on the same subject, right? Which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. But now look at the next verse. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Forever this was like, Jesus, why don't your disciples fast? We want to know about fasting, Jesus. Well, you don't put an old cloth on a new garment. You don't put new wine into old bottles. Thank you. Thank you. I now know everything there is to know about fasting. I'm so glad you told me that, you know. But here I'm trying to learn about mustard seed faith, and right in the middle of it, just connected right up, he says, oh, by the way, a woman took yeast, and she put it in 3 measures of meal, until the whole was leavened. Thank you. Thank you so much. I pray, read it again, pray. Finally, my lightning quick mind. You reckon there's a reason that he said 3? Let's see, what is a human being? We are spirit. We are soul. We are body. See, what he's really talking about here is really Christ in us coming forward. When I see Christ in Matthew, Mark, see, we separate spirit, soul, and body to teach about it. Like, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. That's all true. But it's also true, you're a whole thing. You are a whole entity. And what he's really talking about here, I finally saw Jesus, and I'm going, oh my Lord, we're to be conformed into that image. Jesus, it wasn't just his spirit that was connected with God. His soul had been renewed, if you'll allow me. Actually, his was nude. He didn't have to renew it. That his soul agreed with the word of God. But here's another thing. He kept his flesh under all the time. He didn't let his flesh rule him. Tempted in every point like us, yet without sin. His nature, the nature of Christ, was leavened in all 3 parts of meal. Spirit, soul, and body. And that 3rd measure, that requires fasting. This kind cometh not out but by prayer. This kind of what, devil? This kind of unbelief cometh not out but by prayer and by fasting. He's wanting to make us into that same image that we see walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not only born again in our spirit, not only with our mind renewed to the Word of God, but also that place where we take dominion over that flesh, and our flesh literally becomes the vessel for God to work and to do His will on planet Earth. Did you get anything out of that? I done preach myself happy. I'm going to tell you again now. I recommend to you again. We're already in the season of fasting. There are many kinds of fasts. The easiest one that I've ever personally been on is the one I'm doing right now. It's a Daniel fast. You can read it over in the book of Daniel. There's whole websites devoted to it. But it's a good way to get started, okay? And it's fasting. Then there's water fast, there's juice fast, there's... Dave taught us about sequential fasting, or we call it series fasting. There's all different kinds. But what's not acceptable anymore, church, is to do no fasting. And this year, if you didn't hear Sunday night's message, I think the title we put on it was Consistent Fasting. And that's because of the prophecy that's come forward recently. Now, your diligence shall be measured by consistency. So, hey, a 7-day water fast is great. Don't wait 6 months to do that again. Or maybe you do a 7-day water fast, take a few days off or a week off, then maybe do a 21-day Daniel fast. Maybe take a week off, maybe do a series fast. What I'm saying is there's all different kinds of fasting. And I'm going to add this and then I'm going to quit. Listen to the Lord. Okay? Some of you may have health problems. There may be things that the Lord would caution you about. See, I don't think my mother, who's 95 this week, she battles acid reflux. I don't think the Lord is calling her to a 40-day water fast, okay? I don't think so, okay? But she could still fast. She could do a Daniel fast. There's all kinds. See, there's fasting is what I'm saying. So listen to the Lord. But we've got to do something. Doing nothing, we're too late in the game for that. We're too late in the game for that now. Amen? All right. Father, I did my best to deliver that in 1 hour. I thank you for the grace of God to do it. I believe it was understandable. Father, I thank you for teaching us this faith as a grain of mustard seed, so that, Father, nothing shall be impossible unto us. And when we speak to the mountain moves. Not a maybe so, not a sometimes so, but every time. Just like Jesus said, Father, help us. Help us become the best farmers ever. Help us become expert at mustard seed faith. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.